And welcome here to the post-signing day edition of Husker Online Headlines. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, 39 new roster additions for Matt Rhule and the Huskers here with this 2023 class now in the books. Lots to talk about, lots to get to here in Husker Online Headlines. No better than to start with the head man himself, Nebraska head coach Matt Rhule, joining us here on Husker Online Headlines. First of all, Coach, congratulations. I'm sure just to get to this point of the recruiting process, to get this first class done, a lot of these guys on campus, it's got to be a great feeling.
Yeah, you know, when we first started, with the new rules and the ability to sign more than 25, never would have anticipated that it would have kind of moved this way. But it's really a lot of credit to the coaches that we have, the recruiting staff that we have. They put a lot of work in, and I think we were able to identify some guys that are going to be able to help us.
Coach, it's a question that we get a lot in recruiting coverage. When you just look at just the freshmen, the younger players coming in, what is a realistic goal of just how many of these guys could contribute maybe more than the four games when you look at your history with kind of integrating freshmen into a football team, especially in a year one situation?
You know, I always feel like it depends on how good the team actually is. I don't think about redshirting anyone. I bring everyone in and I let them compete. And I hope you'll find the kind of the way that we practice, the amount of competitive stuff that we do, you know, ones on ones, twos on twos, threes on threes, the amount of, you know, game situations. It gives guys an opportunity to show what they can do. And if you have a really good team, sometimes some of the guys, they play a little bit early in games and then they really don't want to play. You know, they're kind of like, hey, you know what, coach, there's a lot of pressure. I'd rather just kind of play my four games and redshirt the rest of the way. Sometimes it's better for a guy to play. You know, Jalen Petrie's tearing up the NFL right now for the Houston Texans. Set a record for rookie safeties. We played him his first and second year. Then my last year at Baylor, we redshirted him. He played four games, and we redshirted him because it was the best thing for him moving forward. So I think each one's a case-by-case basis. But there's some players that we've already said to ourselves, hey, you know, we're hoping that they play. We're bringing them here to play early. Who exactly that is, it'll kind of depend on how they play and how they practice.
Joined by Coach Matt Rhule. Of course, you bring in 11 transfers, guys from the transfer portal. I suppose most of those guys are expected to play. Now, yesterday, you covered a lot of ground. You said something, and you said it kind of quickly, but it really caught my ear, Coach, about Eric Gilbert, the transfer tied in from Georgia. Your quote was, he's as talented a player as there is. Now he's a big tight end, 6'6", 260 listed. What's that picture look like? It kind of was a provocative statement.
Yeah, he's probably 280, 285. And
is that right?
He runs like he's 230.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I mean he's one of the more highly recruited kids, a couple of years ago. And so, he's got ball skills. He's athletic. He's physical. Just things haven't worked out for him so far. And so I think for our job here is to help him, the football part will come. Just help him do all the things it's going to take to have it work out, And again, I don't know everything, so I have to get to know him better. And I think it's just a process of, sometimes when players have a lot of expectations put on them, they have a tendency to every day is like too anxious. I'm trying to teach these guys, like, just worry about today, man. Don't worry about where you're getting drafted or, everyone expects me to play. Just worry about today and getting Eric and getting all the other transfers just integrated into the system, getting them to know the guys here. Mm-hmm. I think that's really our deal. But Eric's really, really talented.
Coach, when you look at just the quarterback, you didn't bring a high school guy in. Obviously, you, Jeff Sims, a transfer. You confirmed yesterday that Casey Thompson and Logan are going to be out with their shoulder issues. What kind of opportunity now does Jeff Sims have? Just the reps he's going to get, when you kind of move into the spring with just some of the injuries and other situations you're dealing with there at that position.
Well, I'll say first, I'm really excited about the quarterbacks. Okay. I know Sat recruited Richard Torres a little bit at South Carolina. So, even today I'm here, I'm watching some of these guys, I'm watching their high school huddles and comparing them to who we just signed. And again, I'm on this relentless quest to put guys in the right position to be successful. So I like the quarterback room a lot. I think Heinrich's got some real talent, a real skill set. Chuba, I've watched him for, a couple of years. I think he's got real good skill set. So they're going to get reps and we'll have those guys out there and they'll have a lot of opportunities. Jeff, I've watched Jeff. You know, I watched him at Georgia Tech. I know the character that he has, the football brain that he has. And when you take a guy that's that dynamic, that's explosive, and the leadership capabilities he has and the brain that he has to want to play football, I think the sky's the limit for Jeff. And, you know, he'll have a lot of opportunities this spring to really master the offense and show what he can do.
Along those lines, Coach, what about the returning starter, Casey Thompson? What is your expectation for him, I guess, this spring even, when he's not available, but then going forward?
Yeah, I don't have expectations for anybody just because, I just want to give everyone a kind of a clean slate. You know, when I watched Casey play last year, I thought he played really, really well. I thought he was making key throws at key times, shows elite timing in the passing game. You know, he's just got to get healthy. The unique thing is that with a new offense, there's going to be so much learning that, you know, in a year where you really can't do a ton of spring ball. Now, again, what can they do? Maybe they can do some passing drills and stuff like that, but where you can't truly go out and compete, there's a lot of learning that those guys all have to do anyway. So I think this will be a really productive time for Casey and for Logan as they kind of come back from injury. But I think Casey's an excellent player. But again, you know, we're going to be the type of program. I don't care. I don't care who got recruited where. I don't care how guys got here. I care about what they do when they're here. So for me, it's not about what anyone's done in the past. It's about what they do moving forward. And I guarantee you'll probably see in my tenure here, you'll see walk-on starting. You'll see, you know, I mean, where they were recruited, their stars, all those things, that's all in the past. It's all about what's happening moving forward. As a total aside, we got some guys walking around that walked on here that, you know, are training with Corey down there right now that look big time. They look like some good looking players. And so I'm just going to give them all a fair chance and let them compete. And then they'll decide who plays.
There's another comment you made yesterday that really it's fascinating to listen to you talk about the offensive line. You said yesterday, I think the previous staff did a really good job with the big guys, the O linemen. Now, Coach, that's not necessarily the sentiment of media fans. Maybe you've heard it, maybe not. But what do you see in that group that maybe others don't?
Well, the comment I was referencing yesterday was about the kids that were already committed.
Okay.
You know, so like Brock, Gunner, Sam. You know, I really like that group of guys.
Okay.
But that being said, you know, if you watch the, you know, I was studying last year, like our counter cut up from last year. I think they ran 28 versions of counter, old school. You know.
Yeah.
Help double team on a front side, go kick someone out, and they average 6 yards of carry on it. It's so easy to say, oh, it's the O-line. Oh, it's the O-line. It is what it is, right? It's so easy to say that. But, like, you know, there's a responsibility from the quarterback, from the receivers, from the running backs, from the tight ends to help the O-line. But there's a responsibility from the coaching staff to have an identity of, like, hey, don't tell me what we can't do. Tell me what we can do. And so I'm not saying anything bad. I just think it's so easy as a coaching staff to sit there and be like, hey, we're not good enough up front. I have no idea how good we are. I think there's some players there I really like. I walk by Dylan Parrott, you know, a walk-on offensive lineman, and I'm like, man, I would kill for him at some of the places I've been, watching him move and how big and strong he is. I haven't seen him play yet, so I can't crown him. I'm just saying there's some guys with some talent, and I just don't want to take the easy way out. You know, I don't want to sit here and say, oh, we're not good enough here, we're not good enough there. I said when I first started this is a long, arduous journey. I'm glad that people are maybe a little bit excited that we were able to, you know, create some buzz in recruiting. But they're all just 17 or 18 years old. We got a lot of work to do. But I just met the staff did a nice job. I liked the committed O-lineman when I got here.
Okay, thank you.
Coach, when you look at, you know, you're putting together your staff and all your people around you, I think one of the more intriguing hires you made was Dr. Susan Elza from the UIL in Texas. We didn't get a chance to ask about her yesterday. I'm curious, just what is she going to do for you? What brought you to this hire? And just on the surface, it's a really unique, big-time hire in a lot of ways.
Yeah, well, you know, I think Susan's a rock star. And what I wanted to do this time around, you know, because there were a lot of people that had been with me for a long time and had gone different places, and some of them stayed in the NFL and some went to other places, I just wanted to hire difference makers in different areas to make sure we have an elite program, you know, top to bottom. And I got to know Dr. Elza, you know, during my time at Baylor. You know, she was in the UIL. And I'll just tell you guys, you know, I hired Bob Wager, I hired Garrett McGuire, I hired Josh Martin, some different guys with Texas ties. When I was out recruiting in the state of Texas, the only people talked about was Susan.
Right.
She, you know, oh, my gosh. Well, she, I mean, she's the person that dealt with, you know, the 12,000 Texas high school coaches. She's the one that when they had a complaint, when there was something happening, I was talking to one coach who was talking about, you know, they wanted to use their own headsets in the state championship game. And she called him and she said, absolutely not. I mean, she's a lion. She's awesome. And so I tried to take her to Carolina. So this isn't like a recruiting thing. Like, oh, she knows the head coach. She's just elite. And so I tried to take her to Carolina. That didn't work out. When I got here, it was able to work out. So I was able to have Sean Patton, who Sean has been with me forever as like kind of my director of football operations, kind of in the role that Susan's in. He's kind of moved over into the general manager, you know, heading up all personnel and all the different facets of that stuff. And then Dr. Elza, now Susan is going to now handle all sort of like the football administration operations, kind of chief of staff role. So really, if you look at it, besides the football coaches, they're kind of the two people, you know, that report directly to me, and they have their own areas. And I think for me to get her was awesome.
Interesting. Thank you, Coach. Now, one more from me, Coach, if I may. What has it been like for you to get to know Coach Osborne, and what led to you choosing him as the keynote speaker for the football camp?
I just thought about, you know, in future years we'll probably bring in like, you know, an NFL coach, or hey, you know, I thought this year every one of our assistant coaches will speak. Okay. The clinics to me are really, really important, because how you do your clinics and camps sends a message to everybody about how you run your program. It can't just be thrown together. It can't just be slopped together. Right. And a lot of clinics I go to are slopped together. So we are going to take ours really, really seriously. You know, so every coach is going to speak, because I want the coaches in Nebraska, and I'm assuming coaches will come from bordering states. I want them to hear from all of our coaches. You know, we have a young staff. So young staff can look one way until you hear them talk football. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, he's a football guy. So that was key to me. But I never thought, you know, about having a guest speaker other than, you know, I asked Mike Lombardi, who wrote Gridiron Genius, who's kind of been a mentor to me, who's awesome. And then I took a shot at Coach Osborne. And I just thought, like, you know, I had a chance at the Outland Trophy to sit there with him. And he just talked to me for like an hour. And I, you know, talked about football. You know, we talked about the option. We talked about first and second. We talked football. I had a chance to talk to Coach Solich one day for like an hour and a half. And we talked about like offense. And we talked about, you know, I'd gone against Coach at Ohio University. And, you know, we talked about how he had made the change from sort of like the I formation to more of a spread type offense. But it was still the same principles going back to Coach Osborne. So I'm just kind of a football junkie. And hearing from Coach Osborne, hearing from Coach Solich was amazing. And so Coach Osborne's been unbelievably kind to me. When he stood up at the Outland Trophy and said he thought our staff was doing a good job, like to me, like that was, you know, I don't need a lot of validation. that was validation that I really appreciated. So I saw him speak at the Outland, you know, coaches, you know, soft spoken and unassuming. And he got up there, man, and he just crushed it. And I was like, wow, like, you know, what an opportunity for the coaches in Nebraska to hear from Coach Osborne. Because you know, it's really important to me that this spring is not about me, right? The clinic's not about me. The spring game's not about me. It's about Nebraska, and it's about the players that are here first and foremost. Then it's about the former players and former coaches. It's not, well, yeah, I played for Coach Osborne, but I played for Coach Pelini. We played for Nebraska, you know? And so I want in some ways to get as many people here as possible that want to come here and be at, you know, come to practice and be at the games. And so Coach Osborne to me hopefully signals that to a lot of people.
Well, Coach Rule, we know you're very busy, and we really appreciate the opportunity to get a chance to catch up with you. And congratulations again on a great recruiting season.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Hi, it's Sean Callahan with Husker Online. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right. A company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones and see what we find. Learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus. Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
Let's get on the headline number two. Let's react to kind of what we heard from Matt Rhule as we got really the first local crack at him in terms of, you know, a local outlet getting a chance to, you know, speak with Coach Rhule. And a lot to digest there.
Couple things right off, Sean. There's a quarterback competition, and it's now it you tell me what you heard, but I heard wide open, wide open.
Yeah. And the thing that it's going to be hard to figure out is the reps. Like in the, when camp starts in August, because we know in April, May and June or March, April, May, Casey's not going to get reps or with the ones be able to throw live. So what will the summer look like? And then what will camp look like
right.
as far as divvying up reps with the ones? Because to win a job, you got to get reps with the ones. Mm-hmm. And, you know, are they going to split those reps when camp opens? I would assume yes, but it's hard to say.
Right. And we and unfortunately, we don't see that. So you just going to have to ask a lot of questions. Now, I know you are now he did give a fabulous answer on a topic that's very that you're very interested in, Dr. Susan Elza. Right.
Yeah. I mean,
what did you hear from that?
Well, the fact that
your takeaway,
she deals with like the 10,000 coaches in the state of Texas and just her level of leadership, you know, Nebraska's got a lot of money, a lot of resources to do whatever they want to do. Mm-hmm. And we've seen a lot of coaches here go in different directions on how they build the staff. And this to me, when you look at the amount of revenue Nebraska football is bringing in, the level of importance it has to the state, you need an important person to run details and they've got it now. And you know, like he's got his regular guy, Sean Patton, who's always been with him and he's going to be more on the personnel side, but just from the detail and the overall operation side, you know, I thought, you know, Susan Elza is going to have a huge role. And I look at it as like, she's probably coming here knowing that maybe she could be a college AD.
Yeah.
Maybe she could be a senior women's administrator. You know, I think she probably has long-term goals, like this is my first step to becoming an athletic director at another Division I school or something else down the road.
Yeah, what it, I agree with all of that, Sean. The other thing it screams to me is what Rule is doing. Now, you tell me if I'm wrong, but this is what I like. It's kind of like what he said about putting together camps. You don't want to slop together a June camp. Or this spring coaches clinic. You don't want to slop that together because it's reflective of the program. Now, where I'm going with this is he is building this in a big time way, something that is befitting of a very tradition rich Big Ten school. That's what I like about it. I've been a little critical of coaches here in the past that I don't know if they always treated it like it's a, like what, treated it like it deserved, like what it is. And he is. That's what Dr. Susan Elza represents to me. A lot of what Matt Rhule is doing, that's what I see, is he's treating this like it should be, which is a big-time, tradition-rich program run by a CEO, him, but other CEOs along with him. That because there's a lot. There's a lot. When it comes to running this program, I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot of nuance, Sean.
Well, and I've been around the camps and the clinics here for the better part of 15, 20 years. And some of those details of the program had kind of slipped.
I will say this though, Sean, I was there in June with you. I thought those camps were well run.
Yeah.
Sean, but I thought they were well run.
The level of player at the camp had slipped.
But how much is that due to just the way recruiting has gone?
Some of that. Yes. And you got to get younger players there. But just talking to other people that kind of have been at other places that worked the Nebraska camp, they could be a lot better. I mean,
okay.
Mike Riley, give him a lot of credit. They ran great camps, but recruiting was different. The early signing day hadn't existed yet.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
But the clinic side of things too, though, if you run, you know, a half, you know what clinic,
it gets around
and coaches like, this is a waste of my time. And it got to the point where coaches only wanted to come to the clinic to basically watch practice. And let's be honest, coaches, when they go to the clinic, they want fellowship time with the Husker staff too. Like they want to go, you know, have a beer with the staff and talk to them casually,
sure,
not on a stage in a clinic type setting. So I'm intrigued how that's going to be. You mentioned NFL people, like Zach Taylor's a no-brainer. Like next year's clinic, not this year, but the next year, they got to get like someone like Zach Taylor here. Yeah, I'm sure Zach would do it.
Yeah, I'm sure he would. The other thing about our discussion with Coach Rhule is what he said about Eric Gilbert, which he does not – he is very forthcoming, Matt Rhule, very forthcoming about Eric Gilbert's talent Eric Gilbert, the transfer tight end from Georgia. Now, what he said was really intriguing. He said Gilbert right now is 6'6", 280, 285, but runs like he's 230. This is a very intriguing discussion because you could be pairing Eric Gilbert with Thomas Fedoni. Now, Sean, if they realize their potential, Nebraska's never had a tight end duo like that.
No.
Never. If they realize their potential. Now, that's the big part.
This could make like Austin Allen and Vokolek look like nothing. I mean, like those guys are really good NFL tight ends. But if
this could be Iowa-like.
Like these guys have NFL potential. The key word, though, remains potential.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was fascinating to hear Matt Rhule say that Gilbert is 6'6", 280, but not – he wasn't concerned about it.
No one is. You know, I've got a good contact at Georgia and – it's funny. Matt Rhule said the exact same things this guy told me. He goes, "Oh, that's no big deal. He still runs like he's 230.
That's exactly what Rhule said.
Right. It's like, so I think everybody, you know, understands the big picture, just like Xavier Betts. Like, you know, he's been away for a year, but no one, I think, is worried about him getting back into shape. It's more, you know, getting his academics right, getting the other things needed to be in place for him to be a football player.
Yeah. Corey Campbell. We'll take care of getting those bodies right quick.
Now, you and me getting in there, it'd take a little bit longer. Oh, maybe not you.
Yourself. Hey, listen, Sean, we wouldn't make it through a winter workout.
No.
A Nebraska winter. We would literally not make it.
One time, Dave Kennedy, when he was the strength coach, and you know, we had a little bit more access in the summers back then, and I made a joke about doing a workout with him, and he just looked at me and he goes, "I'd freaking kill you."
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, that sounds like Kennedy, by the way.
And he had an edge to him.
Yeah, he did.
Like he wasn't messing around.
Well, big thanks to Coach Rhule. I mean, that was, we have a lot there. So more to write. I mean,
all right, let's get on to headline number three, the spring game tickets. Tickets went on sale yesterday. Hopefully by the end of the week, we'll get a really good snapshot of kind of where those sales are at.
Right.
You know, April 22nd, spring game. Do you think this thing has a chance to be sold out?
God, it's a good question. Things are going well. You can tell that fans are like, they're on board. Nowadays, there's this sort of halting optimism. You know, you don't want to go too far in because we've done that. You know, we've done that as media corps. The fan base has done that. God, I'd like to think so, Sean. I'd like to think it could get close. If you really pin me down on it, no, I don't expect a sellout. But 60,000 plus, yeah, that would be great.
Okay, here's one for you. Last year's spring game had 53,000 fans.
More than that.
They'll top 53,000.
Yeah. So I think they'll top 60.
And 53 was like the lowest number Nebraska had since the spring game became what it did under Bill Callahan and Steve Peterson.
Right. And the buzz last year was not, there was no buzz.
Well, then they didn't tackle.
Right. There was no buzz. Now, what you heard Trev Alberts maybe already kind of start to push for a big crowd on his statewide radio show, Trev Alberts, the Nebraska AD, when he said it'll be football this year. He said it in passing, but man, a lot of people noticed that Trev Alberts said, and the spring game will be football this year. I think the AD wants it to be football. Now, okay, that's the AD. You got a head coach who's got, there's going to be, hey, Sean, there's going to be depth issues at certain positions. So you really got to balance that sort of, you want this steak dinner. You want it bloody red, but I don't know if we should do that. You know, I don't know for sure if we should go full force into a full force football scrimmage, and if your depth is a little suspect at a few positions.
Well, and if you were, say, Scott Frost a year ago and you knew your job was on the line, are you going to like risk losing guys in the scrimmage?
Key guys,
because you want to appease a spring game crowd. So it is a delicate line, and the Nebraska spring game is such a unique animal. I mean, there's only like three or four probably comparable to it. Ohio State obviously would be up there. Alabama to an extent is up there. Georgia. Those are the only other ones. Oklahoma will draw here and there. Penn State can. Some of these places like Michigan, they don't even get 20,000.
Not even close. Michigan's not even, wasn't even close to that. It wasn't. I don't think this
year. Iowa doesn't even do like a.
I've been to an Iowa spring game.
It's a Friday. They do like a practice.
They did a Saturday scrimmage when I went. It was like 2011 or 2012. It was a Saturday scrimmage, but there was 15,000
friends and family weekend, pretty much.
Kind of like that, yeah. Now, Ferentz was struggling at that point, and there was a lot of tension. But yeah, it wasn't a big crowd. I was there, Sean. I was there for it.
Yeah, that will be interesting just to see like where it's at week's end. Are they over 20? Are they over 30,000?
Well, hey, we promised to update that.
That was your homework for the show.
I got caught up in some things. But yeah, we'll promise to update that by the end of the week.
Okay. Headline number 4 now. Let's talk transfers in this group of 11, the impact this group might have for Nebraska. And you know, I want to let's just fire through these names and let's just kind of give realistic thoughts on the group. Eric Gilbert, I think we both agree he's got a great chance to be not a starter, but for sure him and Fedoni featured together, right?
Yeah, Matt Rule's doing nothing to play it down. I mean, there's off the field, you know, everybody has read about Eric Gilbert understands that there's some things away from the field that have to be tended to. But think about it. Eric Gilbert was with Jake Peets at LSU. Jake Peets is in Matt Rule are close. Jake Peets, the former Nebraska, you know, he was a long snapper. Peets, I'm sure, was a guiding force in this. So I think Eric Gilbert's going to be a factor.
MJ Sherman, when I look at him as we're moving down this transfer list, 6'3", 250 is what Nebraska listed him at yesterday. My question is, is he a true edge? Is he an inside backer? Like, how will they feature him on this scheme? But I pencil him in as a projected starter.
I do too. What you hear from the SEC, scouts, coaches I know in that neck of the woods, the question with MJ Sherman is, will he get all his explosiveness back from a knee injury he suffered in high school? That's what you wonder. But yeah, Sean, they brought him in here for a reason. He's going to get every chance to be a factor.
Corey Collier, moving down here, safety out of University of Florida, 6'1", 180. I don't have a great read where he's going to factor. I just know he's walking into probably the most experienced position group. So for me, it's hard to say like he's going to beat out any of those safeties. Unless Buford's not fully recovered from his injury, maybe I'll have a chance. But Corey Collier, you know, where he fits will be something to watch too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he doesn't have to necessarily be ready to roll. But that's more one that could be kind of a wait and see, maybe be patient on.
Elijah Judy, D lineman,
gotta play
out of Texas A&M, 6'3", 300 pounds. I look at him as kind of a Colton Feast, Devin Drew replacement at that point. You know, like sign and replace.
He's got to be ready,
and he's here, and that's the difference. Devin Drew was not here for the spring.
In mid-August.
Stephon Wynn was not here for the spring, so I do think there's a real advantage with Elijah Judy being here, where he's going to be a rotational player. I'm not saying he's a starter, but he's going to play 30, 40 snaps a game.
When did Drew get here last year? Was it mid-August. I don't know if it was quite mid-August, but
No. Yeah, he missed the first week of camp.
Did he?
Like, he only had like 10, 12 practices before Ireland.
So he probably, he got here in early August.
So the reason I remember this is we had those two photo days. Uh-huh. His like second or first practice was one of those first, that second photo day.
And he wasn't in full pads.
No, he was in shorts.
Yeah, he was still in acclimation period. So he didn't start getting into practice till well into August.
As Mark Banker would say, that he was running around in underwear.
Yeah. So it's big that Judy's here. And Judy is one you definitely point to, I would think. And yeah, you got to be ready. You got to be ready to roll.
All right. Jeff Sims versus Casey Thompson, Sean Callahan versus Steve Sipple, round 12. We're going to go back and forth on this. I think Jeff Sims is going to have an advantage coming out of the spring with the reps he gets. Mm-hmm. Now, I know Casey's going to get a chance, but we talked to Coach Rule about Jeff Sims. I think, you know, if there were like a Vegas odds board, I think he'd have the slight edge to be the starter, not knowing anything right now.
I mean, I can't necessarily disagree with you. I just hope that Casey has shown the respect he's earned, not the respect he deserves, the well, he deserves it, but the respect he's earned. Casey's earned. It's not, you're not projecting anything, right? I mean, you saw what he did. So yeah, I just hope Casey gets that respect. It's going to be difficult to watch these guys in the spring while he's rehabbing a shoulder injury. I can't imagine that would be comfortable for Casey. That'd be fascinating to follow that. Okay.
All right. Moving down the list. Josh Fleeks out of Baylor, Cedar Hill High School, same high school as Joey McGuire was the head coach at. And then his son, obviously Garrett, played there, was a teammate of his at Baylor. Now Garrett McGuire is his coach at Nebraska. I look at Josh Fleeks as probably a top six guy, a rotational player, because he's not coming here as a six-year grad transfer if he's not going to be in the rotation. That's my opinion.
Rotation guy. That's what I think.
Now, I don't know if he's a starter. I think he's a rotation guy.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Chief Borders, Edge,
just don't know. Florida. Just don't know.
You look at Chief Borders and kind of what he brings to the table. My question is, where does he stack up compared to Blaze Gunnarsson and Jamari Butler?
Mm-hmm.
That's
the question.
That's the discussion right there. Then MJ Sherman. I believe MJ Sherman is the better of the two.
Well, you're going on nothing, though, because how do you evaluate Chief Borders? All you can do is look at Florida special teams tape. That's really all there is. And Sean, you just can't. There's not much you can judge from that.
All right, moving down. Jacob Hood, 6'8", 345, Georgia transfer out of Nashville, Tennessee. Can Jacob Hood contend for the right tackle job? I think we're both on the same page here. I think he's a develop guy.
Yeah, he's basically a freshman. He didn't play last year.
He's a redshirt freshman.
Yeah. So it'll be his first year of action. So, yeah, I don't know that you should expect him to come in and win a job. I've seen people project that.
No.
I'm sort of surprised. Like, I mean, he would have to beat out a guy like Turner Corcoran or Bryce Benhart that have played a lot of snaps at this level in the Big Ten. I don't look at him like that.
I was told too, like Fran Brown, who, you know, has the contact to Matt Rhule because they coach together. Fran Brown's a defensive backs coach at Georgia. You know, he basically said, like, yeah, this guy, you know, needs work, developmental guy. Like, so you look at that recruiting class, though, there's only one offensive lineman in that class. Nebraska signed a year ago, so they needed more numbers.
They did.
I mean, it was startling to me that, like, the first year of Raiola last year, they only brought in three new linemen, and that was a key area of need. And Kevin Williams and Hunter Anthony were two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one was Justin Jenkins,
mm-hmm.
who is the smallest lineman on the roster.
Yeah.
How about Matt Rhule too, saying he wants 16 scholarship linemen? Right now they have 15.
Okay.
So they're still under, which tells you, my friend, they're going to probably try to get one more from the portal if they can.
Yeah. We had limited time with Coach. One question I would like to ask him is how challenging is it right now to go get a offensive lineman out of the portal that's really capable of starting? It can't be easy.
I wanted to get it in, but when I heard his calendar ding.
Oh, did you hear that?
Well, yeah, on his thing, you know, busy people have meetings on these little, on their calendars, you mm-hmm. know, on their email calendar. And it sounded like he had a 10:15. So we had to get Coach off and, you know, we got to talk to him for an hour. And he was great.
Yeah, he was.
All right, let's move on. Three more transfer names. Ben Scott, Arizona State, two-year projection guy. He's a center at 6'5", 300.
You know the deal.
He's the starter.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, he's got to go win the job.
Who's he going against? Ethan Piper?
Yeah.
But Piper's a guard, too.
Well, Piper can play center, and he has played center at this level. But, no, they brought Ben Scott
in. He's a starter, period.
Okay. He can't come in sloppy. I mean, he's got to come in and win the job.
Well, he's not going to come.
No.
He's got Columbus blood in him, Steve.
Yes, Simple. He does. Strong Columbus ties.
All right. Billy Kemp, the fourth.
Well, boy, he's got to play.
5'9", 180. He's had 270-plus-yard reception seasons under his belt at Virginia. He's returned several live. And, you know, I think, Simple, the return element of kind of what he brings to the table is really interesting to me too, because you know, he's a very proven return guy. He's got 192 catches for 1,774 yards as a receiver. But he's also fielded, he's fair caught 76 punts and had 64 punt returns. So he's been involved in, you know, 130 punt returns.
Yeah. Matt Rhule, forget what we say about Billy Kemp. Matt Rhule yesterday just said they're going to look at him as a return man. And Rhule also said something that I've said about Billy Kemp a few times, and that is he looks like a slot guy. He looks like a prototypical slot guy at 5'9", 172. But if you watch Virginia tape, they didn't always line him up in the slot. They line him up outside, Sean. He's not a prototypical outside guy because of his size. But Virginia used him so many different ways. He's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. He's a pretty tough runner. The only critique I would have that you would maybe judge as negative is he doesn't really explode through contact. He's a smaller guy. But
he battled some injury this year too.
Yeah, but he's fast and tough. I'm not saying he's not tough. He's fast and tough, but that size, he doesn't get through. You know, if he runs into contact, he goes down. But he's going to get the ball in his hands a lot.
And then one more transfer, Marco Ortiz, the long snapper out of Florida, clearly being brought in to be a one-year starter long snapper. One thing I heard interesting, though, about specialist recruiting under Ed Foley, they're not necessarily big on offering a guy in high school. Now, Alvano was a different deal. Number one, he's a great kicker. But
Tristan Alvano.
He had the offer previously, so they honored those situations. Mm. But I think in their perfect world, they want to make sure a guy wins the job before they put the money on the guy. Because if you put money on a poor freshman kicker, let's use an example of Mauro Bondi.
Okay, Mauro Bondi,
former Nebraska. Going back, they put money on him.
Going back to Callahan era,
and he couldn't win the kicker job back then.
Uh huh.
And because then they had Drew Brown come in, and then Sam Foltz beat him out for the punter job.
Yeah.
So then you had this scholarship specialist. Mm-hmm. And then what was the one that hit the Michigan State game winning field goal? But Barrett Pickering injured himself evidently in a golf accident.
Don't hear that.
Never got healthy. Right. Sabotaged the season in 2019.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't kick.
God, that's a good point, Sean. 2019.
I mean, they took a kicker from Leadbelly as a waiter. And then they wanted him to come back the next year. I already forgot.
And he decided he didn't want it. He decided I just want to work at Leadbelly. That's a true story. That's a dead honest truth. He just decided I don't want to play.
Well, then they had another kicker who I think his dad was like the doctor for Matt Davison and his wife when they had a baby, and his son joined. I mean, they were pulling kickers out of the bleachers year. It was a disaster.
It's not what you want.
So it will be interesting to see. All right, let's get on to our final and fifth headline, Sipple. Nebraska coaches will start learning about this team now. Where should they start, as Matt Rhule and his staff have been around the guys now for these winter workouts all week?
Well, I think the easy answer's got to be the QB room. You got to learn all you can about, Sims.
Richard Torres is up.
He mentions Torres, doesn't he? Rhule mentions Torres. Satterfield recruited him to South Carolina, tried to recruit him, tried to get him there. You got to find out about that room. You got to find out all you can. You got to find out all you can about Sims. They know a lot. I mean, they know a lot. But listen, if you're Rhule today, Sean, and you're going down and watching winter conditioning, I'm watching the quarterbacks pretty close. I'm watching all elements of it, not just the workouts, how they get along with the players, how they get along with the cooks in the training table, at the training table, how they get along with everybody. How do they carry themselves? I think you watch that really close. And you're watching Casey too, and I bet you Casey puts a pretty good picture out there. I mean, Casey's not going to mope around. That's not Casey Thompson.
What can Casey do though?
He can be around. There. Yeah, he can be around his teammates. He can be studying film. I would imagine Casey's there every day because, I know I get this tag as a kind of a overly supportive of Casey, but he's at those workouts.
Well, and we're going to start. This is the part now, winter conditioning, where stories are going to start coming out of how hard it's going to get.
Oh.
New staff.
Yeah. Oh God.
And look, I'm not saying they want guys to quit, but they're trying to see who wants to do this.
I think that's the better way to put it. I don't think they're trying to get anybody to quit. They're just looking for, to see who's all in, really in. Are you really in with us? So I think that's,
do you want to do this every day at this level?
Right.
If not, you got options.
Yep,
and you can retire because of the coaching change and keep your scholarship and stipend if you just want to stay in Nebraska. And
that's, I think, important. Drive that home, Sean.
And some of these guys, like, look, it's like, do I want to go in the portal and end up in the Sun Belt if I'm lucky?
No offense to the Sun Belt.
Well, and I don't want to, but, or do I want to ride it out here with the amenities and what I'm going to get at Nebraska? Well,
right. Somebody might just want to ride it out.
There's a pathway that allows you to kind of keep the scholarship and the stipend, but not have to be a part of it because of the coaching change. So they have made it a lot easier where you don't have to go in the portal. And you, I mean, there's some guys that have gone in the portal that have, you know, not found homes, and right. That would be pretty stressful.
Yeah, it would be. And it would relieve a lot of stress to know I can just stay at Nebraska and be taken care of financially because of this rule. Matt Rule did address this. Nebraska is at 103 scholarship players. They need to be down to 85 by
August.
He addressed it yesterday, and he didn't seem concerned about it at all. He just said there's rule changes in college football that allow us to get to that number, not worried about it.
And I honestly think it's as simple as, like, hey, look, we have X amount of receivers on scholarship right now. After evaluating you in the winter, in the spring, we've got you down here. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep recruiting players over you because you're down there. Mm-hmm. We don't see you getting up there.
Right.
So these are your options.
That'll take care of some players.
These are your options. You could take the early retirement package, stay at Nebraska, keep your stipend, finish school, graduate, be around your friends here. Or you can go in the transfer portal.
Yeah.
And I mean, but we don't have a future for you in this program.
Right.
I mean,
I don't know if he'd ever say it that way, but they know where they're at on the depth.
Yeah. Track. Like, you have to shoot guys straight.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You don't want to sugarcoat.
No, there's a fine line, though. I've talked to coaches about this. You don't tell a kid to hit the portal, you know, that we don't have a spot for you. They're going to know.
Or you could stay and you're.
They might tell. Hey, by the way, I got to back up. They might tell a kid that we don't really see a spot for you, but you got to be kind of delicate about
it. But yeah, your options are you can take this early retirement package or you know, look at the portal.
Yeah. Or just retire.
You know? Yeah. The early retirement pack. I mean, there were four or five guys.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. It is.
I mean, it used to be like when there's like cops and firefighters would get like a package at age like 45 and they could retire.
Man,
you're like that would have been.
Why wasn't I a firefighter? Anyway, yeah.
Take the early papers.
Yeah.
So it will be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Just how that all triculates. I'm also intrigued about the clinic now coming up and the camps.
Yeah.
And there's just so much now to look forward to, and we've got a good spring practice probably won't start until the week of March 20th. So we've got a good 50 days until spring ball.
Yeah, but it's fun. I mean, there's quite a bit going on, and Sean, it always hits me that it's never dull around here. Like, it's intriguing too. It's very interesting. Rule helps that. Like that press conference he had on Wednesday, it was fascinating to me. A lot of that discussion was really interesting. And then a lot of the discussion we had today adds to it. So there's a lot to write. There's a lot to think about, and that's what we'll be doing.
And I said this yesterday to you. I think Trev and everybody knew like Rule was going to be a professional and bring a lot to the table. But I think he's been more impressive in just these things now than anyone could have predicted.
Right. As I said before, you want a coach who operates in a manner that's befitting a tradition-rich Big Ten program. And what I've seen from Rule so far, that's what I like most, that it's everything is in order. You know, I don't like the years. There's been years when it's kind of a freak show at Nebraska. There's kind of weird things happening that you're just like, this doesn't look right. You know, there's a lot you can probably think back on things where you're just like, man, this shouldn't happen in a place like Nebraska. And I think with Rule, I don't think we'll see a lot of that. I think he'll run a tight ship, but not so tight that it feels paranoid. That's what I've seen so far. There's no doubt in my mind he runs a tight ship, but it doesn't feel paranoid to me, right? I don't think he's the type of guy that.
But he is in control.
You know who's in control?
Like yeah. he.
Oh, you know who's in
control. I mean, he he watches everything.
Yeah.
Like
well, like he said, he watches his assistant coach's news conferences.
I'm guessing, I mean, I don't know this, but I'm guessing he probably watched a couple of these videos we've done to make sure he understood what he was walking into.
Yeah, so be careful what you say, Sean. don't be, you know, loose with your lips.
There might be a few guys we know that can get in trouble over the, but hey, before we end the show here, make sure you get on HuskerOnline.com. We've got a great special, $29.99, get you access to the site through August 31st. Plenty of great content. Sipple is going to write some analysis and commentary from what we learned from Matt Rhule. And Sip, what do you got for Sunday? Give us a little tease on the
big... I don't know yet. Why do you do this to me?
Oh, I thought you knew. All right.
Hold on. You can always go to the QB discussion, which was fascinating today, I thought maybe, probably QBs, actually. Probably
and then
QBs.
We have our in-state tour Sunday.
Yeah.
So I've got 16 local high school programs and their prospects coming to the Warren Academy from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Brian,
who are the prospects you look at in that?
Oh, boy.
Did I put you on the spot?
Well, I got a list. I could just go. But all the major Omaha area programs will have representation at this event.
The Omaha North kid, he'll be a focus, right?
Tyson Terry will be there. So I got Omaha North, Elkhorn North, Scutt, Roncalli, Elkhorn South, Millard North, Westside, Papillion La Vista, Central, Creighton Prep, Gretna, Millard South, Lewis Central, Benson, and Bellevue West. And I've coordinated and confirmed with all those guys.
And so, and what is the setup?
It's a media day. It's a show. So we're getting the data, the information, the photos, educating them on the NIL products that they can have access to on their profile for free on On3 Sports. So when you get a profile now, we allow the prospect to take control of their page and then enter in NIL opportunities, their social media handles, the prospect verification thing. And it's all free. It's a really great resource that Shannon Terry On3 have put together here. Because this is where it's all going. I mean, we know that. Mm-hmm. And we'll do another one of these in 2 weeks in Lincoln. But Brian Munson coming up from Texas to help out this week. And Casey Fritton's going to be working with me. Greg's going to be there. Abby's going to be there. Blake.
Really? All they're going to. Yeah, they don't need me there. These kids will be savvy too. These high school kids.
Oh, yeah.
They'll understand exactly
what
we're dealing
with. It's a long day, but it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And I got the daddy daughter dance at Firethorn on Sunday night. So I got to get back for that Sunday night.
Yeah. You got to cut a rug.
So, yeah. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Well, hope everybody has a great weekend. Thank you for subscribing here to Husker Online. Like, follow us here on the YouTube channel. We also post the show on the podcast channel as well for Husker Online. Make sure you log on to HuskerOnline.com as we will keep you up to date with the latest. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Thanks for joining us.